What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Ask LLC podcast. My name is Harrison. I'm the worship arts director here at Lake Forest Huntersville.
My name is Mike Moses, lead pastor of Lake Forest Church Huntersville. Good to see you all. Today's podcast topic are examples of the practice of consecration. Out of last week's sermon, I wanted to give more real life, historical, and modern day examples of what does it mean, for example, during Lent, to fast from something for a period of time, or if it's sin, for all time, as a way of consecrating myself to seek more of God in some way in my life. So I'll look forward to giving those examples, Harrison.
Okay, so we shouldn't refrain from sin during Lent so we can be really excited to start sinning again after Easter. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's been...
All right, that's good to know.
That error might have been practiced a few times in church history.
Sure.
Hey, just don't sin for this one period of time, and then God will be cool.
Yeah, you mark it on your calendar the day to start again. Okay, well, to your point, Mike, just one Lake Forest side thing, and then we'll get into this content, but even this is close by. We're really excited. A couple months ago, Mike, you pulled me and a couple of other folks on our staff team, including some of our Remix team, together, and we're like, hey, let's brainstorm. How cool would it be if there was kind of a crossover from what's going on in student ministry and what's happening here in quote unquote big church? And we're talking to that crew about worshiping and about praying, about tying into the season of Lent, and just kind of exploring the idea of like, hey, what would it look like as a church across all of our generational lines if we really just came before God together and just tried to learn and practice this idea of seeking prayer, which is just specifically intentionally asking God for direction, clarity, to move in a certain area of your life, to show you places in yourself that you might be holding back and areas that you grow. But it's a much more intentional, purposeful kind of praying. So we're so excited for this. It's going to be awesome.
I'm excited about it. I was thinking about two things when I thought to pull that meaning together, which was one, how do we have really spirit-filled younger leaders in our church, in Remix and in other areas. How do we be sure that we're allowing the congregation to benefit from some of our young leadership? And then also, if it's true that there's some sort of unique level of spiritual hunger or renewed spiritual hunger that the Holy Spirit is gifting the younger generations with right now, then how can we both pour some fuel on that fire, and how can we also let that fire get to older generations? And that's the idea behind it. I'm looking forward to that night, and I see it along with our subject here as a bit of a consecration, a setting aside of an evening. Mm-hmm. And I invite you, I'm inviting Lake Forest folks, leaders, those who would like to consider, this is almost a consecration act on behalf of our church. God, we're asking you to set us apart as a church. Mm. We are setting ourselves apart, some time apart, some attention apart, and asking you to move in ways you already have been, and if not in fresh ways. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's going to be Wednesday night, March 25th. That's about that is about a week and a half before Easter Sunday, which also feels really timely to us. Is just we really are leaning into the importance of spiritual practices for us as we prepare for Easter, so that Easter doesn't just arrive. To me, one of my favorite things growing up, every now and again, we grew up in Florida, so it was easier for us, but my parents would take us to Disney World.
Okay.
And I swear, like, the 3 weeks before you were going to Disney World almost sometimes was better than going, because it's like this build up and this excitement towards the thing, in a way that if they were just like, hey, we're doing something fun, and you showed up at the gates, that would be awesome too.
Yeah.
But there's something about that anticipation and build up that we really, in our spiritual lives, are really trying to emphasize to for ourselves as a church heading towards Easter, of this like, hey, what if we approached the most insanely meaningful, awesome day on our church calendar, which is the celebration of the resurrection of Christ, our official and formal, like, this completion of this plan of God, of a way to make us right with him, like, to not just have the day come and be like, oh yeah, it's Easter, cool, let's celebrate this, but consecrating, setting ourselves aside, even over the stretch of the season of Lent, to really get ourselves in a headspace to be ready for it. So, you know, we're all going to Disney World together on Easter. We're going to celebrate the resurrection. So we're excited about it together. It's going
to
be awesome.
I'll be sure to wear my mouse ears.
Let's do it.
Hey, as we taught on the idea of consecration last Sunday, I actually gloried in the old school nature of that word. I grew up in church, and that was not even a very common word in my church background. I knew of it, and so I really like, I was very careful, actually, if you noticed. I didn't try to modernize it and go, you know, what it really means is, and then use a modern word for it. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, the word is consecration. It's in Leviticus 20. Let's go with it. I wanted to gift myself first as I started looking into this, and then the rest of us with this. I guess, would you call this another tool in the spiritual growth tool belt, perhaps? Mm-hmm. And one practice that I wish I had taken a moment to point out in the sermon that's been built in for some time in our discipleship offerings here are what we call dog days, D-A-W-G, Day Alone with God. Cammie Howard brought that to us. It's something that she had already been tutoring people in other environments where she led before she came on our staff. And heretofore, to keep using formal language from a century and a half ago, mm-hmm. heretofore, it has only been offered to women. Cammie offers it once or twice a semester and has a limit because it always fills up. Scott Mattson is now beginning to offer it for men, and the first one is coming up sometime in the next month. And I don't know if it's full or not, but there's a good number of men signed up. And here's what the DAWG is. It's Day Alone with God. It's a consecration of a day, the better part of one day, to attend to make myself available to approaching God in silence and solitude in a directed manner. We don't just throw people out there. Cammie and Scott give really good direction. And I hear over and over from ministry partners how astounding it is to them that they end up loving it. They're afraid of it a lot of times when people sign up for the first time. Mm-hmm. We heard a God story, if you remember, Way Kelly, did we baptize her that day also? Was she baptized? I can't remember. No. But when she joined and told her God story back in the fall, and the Lord met her and she became a Christian on Cammie's dog, D-A-W-G day on Lake Norman on a beautiful property. And just making that time alone, the knocking of the Lord on the door of her heart broke all the way through, and she opened the door and became a Christian. So all I say is consecration is just another layer, a purposeful word to put on top of something like that that we already offer of a day alone with God, consecrating it to Him. I wanted to give a few more examples just to make it now. I hope, Harrison, I don't know if it seemed clear to you. I hope that I was clear that I was attempting to show us scripturally a place to locate the idea of fasting from something mm-hmm. during a specific season for a specific purpose, which we've encouraged people to do for Lent, 40 days, and everybody's kind of used to that as a thing called Lent. Mm-hmm. This is where that's in addition to fasting all by itself, which is all over the Bible, consecration is a way to include sort of the purpose for which we fast. That it is a giving over of this thing or time or attentiveness, whatever, or refraining from it for a period of time while approaching God, desiring something else, or something more, or something in place of it, or for guidance to become clear, or for a situation to change. You know, there's many purposes that we've talked about for fasting and consecration. Yep. But I also the book where, you know, I was quoting extensively from from a book this weekend that was really super helpful. And the book is about consecration for revival, for your own self first, and then for groups of people. And I thought I would give a notable historical example of just that, of how a notable individual in American church history pursued consecration with a very specific practice. I thought this was interesting. And God responded, not in his timing, but in God's own timing in an unpredictable way. Mm. And then it turned into something. It cascaded into what could be called revival. Mm. Harrison, do you know anything about Dwight L. Moody, D.L. Moody?
I know that Dwight L. Moody has a very large Bible college named after him.
Okay, that's good. That's something.
Mm-hmm. And I know he was a theologian. I know I'm sure I've read some Dwight L. Moody passages, but I don't think I've sat down and read an entire book of his or anything like that. Okay. But yeah, I'm aware of who he is.
Do you know where that Bible college is, the D.L. Moody Bible College?
I'm going to guess, but it's going to be wrong. I'm going to feel dumb.
Go ahead.
Is it in Texas somewhere?
No, it's not.
Okay, I
it's
thought
not.
It was around like Dallas, maybe.
But it's in Chicago.
Okay. Oh, Chicago.
Yeah. Okay. You want to hear the story?
Hit me up.
This is pretty cool. D.L. Moody, a 19th century revivalist, had the largest Sunday school and congregation in Chicago. He was satisfied and did not feel the need for more of God's power and authority. In other words, Harrison, he was doing good ministry.
Yeah.
But in 1871, that locates us here, two elderly women challenged D.L. Moody to his face. You need power. He initially rebuffed it, saying they should pray for someone else, but they insisted, you need spiritual power. After a few weeks, something stirred in D.L. Moody. A great hunger entered his soul, desiring for more power for service to God. He kept asking God to fill him with his spirit. Now, here's the specific consecration moment, Harrison. For the next 4 months, he dedicated himself to prayer toward this filling with the spirit. Mm. So, I imagine if I look it up, I don't know if he's ever given great details of it, but this is a seeking prayer. What you and I were just saying about our seeking prayer night. He dedicated his prayer life to like one thing. Hmm. That's a consecration. If you consecrate your prayer time, as Jesus said, his parable about praying, like wear your Heavenly Father out. Pray it over and over. Hmm. For the next 4 months, he dedicated himself to prayer toward this filling with God's Spirit. On October 8th, 1871, a terrible fire swept through Chicago and burned Moody's church to the ground. He didn't have the money to rebuild the church. Feeling helpless, he took a trip to New York City to, as he put it, beg for money. While walking up Wall Street between the towering financial buildings and the hustle and bustle of the crowd, Moody was overcome with the answer to his prayers for God's power. Here's how he describes it, quote, "Well, one day in the city of New York, oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It is almost too sacred an experience to me. Hmm. Paul had an experience of which he never spoke for 14 years. I can only say God revealed himself to me, and I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. Hmm. I went on preaching again. The sermons were not different. I did not present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted. I would not be placed back where I was before that blessed experience if you would give me all of the city for my own." Hmm. End of quote. From that season of consecration, D.L. Moody's ministry exploded and took on an international level of influence that exceeded anything he could have imagined. It wasn't an impartation of new strategy, rather an endowment of power.
Wow.
And that was I did use this sentence in my sermon. In the kingdom of God, intimacy with God precedes power. It's returning to our first love. I set aside my prayer life. I was pretty open about this, I think, a couple of years ago. And every single day for an entire year, I ask we're told in the Bible to seek the spiritual gifts and seek the greater gifts. And I quoted that back to the Holy Spirit every day, and I asked for the gift of tongues. I was not given it, but I consecrated my prayer for that. Now, I think since then I've identified a new either gift or talent or anointing from the Spirit in my life that's not the gift of tongues. Mm. But I did do that for a year, and I wasn't answered the way that I was asking or wanted or expected. Mm. But I now, with some perspective, can say I was answered very powerfully.
That story, Mike, reminds me of the words of Jesus in the Beatitudes, and they were ones in the ways that Jesus' words often do for me. You read them, and you are challenged and also a little bit more confused the more you think about it. And one of those to me was Jesus' words in the Beatitudes, where he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled." And wrestle with a long time, like, I feel like I'm hungering and thirsting, and you don't always feel filled, and where's that coming from? And that's wrestle with that for a couple of years, and that's what that story reminds me of, is someone going like, man, what would it, if you really hungered and thirsted for righteousness, if you really pursued and hungered, what would happen? That's super interesting.
That's a great connection to the concept of consecration, Harrison. Jesus has told us what to hunger and thirst after in our seeking prayer. And we need to remember that actually at our seeking prayer night. Let me give you all, our Ask LFC folks, a few more examples. These are examples from the two co-authors of the book that I quoted from. The book is called Longing for Revival, From Holy Discontent to Breakthrough Faith by James Chung and Ryan Pfeiffer. Some of you may have been around long enough to remember James Chung being on our campus and giving a talk or two at a leadership conference we held. Gosh, that might have been as long as 10 years ago. He's been the evangelism director for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which is on college campuses, for some time. Well, here are a few examples. I thought these were helpful. Some of them will be stretching. Some of them feel super practical. So here's one from an author named Ryan. When I was about to turn 40, I needed fresh fire for revival. Tina, a friend of mine, texted me pointing out that the next day would mark the beginning of a 40-day period leading up to my birthday. And she said she sensed God inviting me to fast for that entire time. Easy for her to say. I didn't want to admit it, but I knew God was in it. Those 40 days were challenging and difficult, yet glorious. My stomach's ache for food merged with my soul's ache for an outpouring of the Spirit. Whenever the hunger pangs struck, I would pray, "Father, my stomach hungers for food, but my soul hungers for you even more." Once it was over, I actually missed the raw physical longing I felt for God. As a result, my faith and passion for revival went far deeper into my soul. I credit the intensity of my fervor for revival today to those hunger-filled days. That co-author, Ryan, is a witness and a leader in some of the on-campus revivals, Harrison.
Wow.
And he says, instead of 40 days, you could go 10 or 3, but do something you feel the Lord leading you to do. And since almost anything can be consecrated, feel free to be more creative than just food. But from James Chung, here's another example. This might stretch us a little bit. While in college, I, James, had been praying for the gift of prophecy for 6 months. I was following the biblical command to eagerly seek the greater gifts. In this season, I was studying at my desk when a fellow fraternity brother, Miles, walked into my room. He stood 6'4" and added 4 more inches because of the way he wore his hair. But his constantly sleepy look from behind his glasses and his dry sense of humor could put anyone at ease. Right on my desk was a 30-disc CD collection full of my R&B favorites from the 80s and 90s. If you don't know groups like Guy, Troop, and Belle Biv DeVoe, then you just don't know music. He started reading the song titles out of one of them, and I was particularly struck by the overt sensuality of the lyrics. At that moment, I knew God was asking me to throw them out. It was a way to clean house, to set my life apart. That's the meaning of consecration. And it was costly. I loved my music, and they weren't cheap. What a waste. But when I did, I immediately received the gift of prophecy. I had to cleanse my listening to really hear from God. Whoa.
Wow.
Interesting. He sensed, notice it wasn't, well, I'll let that story speak for itself. Here's another one. A friend of mine has a great example from his own life. When he was in graduate school, he also traveled often to do prophetic ministry. But he felt that his normal senses and considerations were compromising his spiritual ministry of prayer. He wanted to get better control over what he focused on in life. So he blindfolded himself for the better part of a week in what he called a sight fast. Okay, that's different. It couldn't have been easy, bumping into furniture, eating, and just getting through a day, then make it a week. Still, he said that, quote, the sight fast quieted my senses so that I could interact with people in situations with a more pronounced spiritual sight, end of quote. Not only has Jordan continued to do something like a sight fast from time to time, as a pastor now, he has prescribed this kind of fast for, quote, people, mostly men, whose visual appetites were drifting out of control in one way or another, end of quote. His reasoning, quote, every sense has an appetite associated with it, and it can be enormously helpful to lay a sense aside forcefully from time to time, end of quote. And then from James, and I'll finish with this. Inspired by this story, I have also set aside other consecration periods. I had a time in my life when I was watching a lot of movies and television shows. For Lent, I gave up these Hollywood stories so I could tell a better story about Jesus with my life. After that period, I did feel that my evangelistic gifts were far more spirit-empowered. For another Lent season, when I felt like I was finding myself envious of other people's successes, I gave up social media. This may speak of the addictive nature of social media, but out of the fasts I've done, I found this one to be the hardest. Without digital distractions, I found myself at the mercy of my darker thoughts, and I had to invite God into those thoughts through prayer rather than try to act as if they didn't exist. And then here's the final end of this chapter. None of these consecration activities are meant to comfort us. Instead, they press into our dissatisfaction. But God uses activities like these to create deeper intimacy and connection within each of us. They set us apart. And here were the final discussion questions, and then we'll be back to you next week. For you personally, what is your part in consecration? What is God's part? In the past, how has consecration affected your intimacy and authority in God? Finally, what costly consecrating activity do you sense the Holy Spirit leading you into now? Hey, thanks for dialing in to the Ask LFC podcast. We're always open to questions. You can mail them in from our webpage at
AskLFC@lakeforest.org is the email address. We get those anytime they come in. We love interacting with your questions.
We'll talk to you next time.